central part of my life. 3 years and 1 week ago, I wouldn't have answered Father. But now parenting is a central focus of my day-to-day activities. On the other hand, male, straight, white, and Unitarian Universalists are all identities that have remained constant throughout my life. Even those, though, my understanding of them has changed over time. For example, I have a much more nuanced understanding of my whiteness now than I did 10 years ago. And the way that I am a Unitarian Universalist in the world has evolved considerably across my lifespan. So even my relatively fixed identities have changed. And yet, despite all this change, I still feel like the same me at my core. A changed me, but me nonetheless. And there are other ways yet still to define ourselves. When I paused earlier this week to answer the question, who am I? The first response that actually came into my head was, I'm someone who is committed to learning and growing throughout my lifetime. That's a value, a belief. It's not the only way I identify myself, but in that moment at least it felt like the most important. There's also, of course, parts of our identities that we might consider of lesser import or weight. For example, I'm also someone who loves science fiction and fantasy novels. No booing, please. I'm also a Boston sports fan, and I'm also a technology enthusiast. I wouldn't say those are the most important things to know about me, but they're part of who I am. What stands out to me, though, in all those different identifications is how many of them I have chosen. I didn't choose to be straight, male, or white, but pretty much all the rest of what I shared are choices I've made or chosen to remake over and over again. Minister, husband, father, student of life, science fiction reader, Boston sports fan, Unitarian, Universalist, all choices. And choices equate to having a sense of control in our lives, which is a healthy thing. We human beings need to feel like we have some sense of control to remain emotionally and spiritually healthy. I've shared before the scientific study that was done in a nursing home where some patients were given a choice about when their visit from the experimenters was going to occur each day and others were not. The experimenters just showed up. The study actually had to be discontinued because the differences in mortality rates between those given a choice and those who were not was too profound to ethically continue it. Even just giving these folks one extra choice per day decreased mortality rates by something incredible, like 40 or 50%. So having a sense of control in our lives is important. But we give up our power, and we actually give up some control over ourselves and who we are, when we fall into the trap of thinking that our identity and sense of self is primarily determined from the inside. Because external forces, culture, the media we consume, stories told to us by family members even, they have a significant impact on who we are and our sense of ourselves. Our reading this morning, that video of the young black children picking which doll they would prefer to play with, these little beings already vastly prefer to play with the white dolls and think the white dolls are nice and the black dolls are not, because of the messages they've received about whiteness and blackness living and growing up in our country. These are little, little people. They don't have any fancy constructs in their heads about race, no theories of oppression or race as a social construct. They just learn and know what they see. And they see over and over that it's better to be white than black. And it's not just race, of course. I assume that most of us are familiar with the harmful messages our culture and our media sends to women and our young girls about their bodies and their sexualities. We could have a whole sermon just on that topic alone, but it's pretty clear if you do even the most basic research that standards of supposed beauty for women are defined by our culture and media in often incredibly unhealthy and unhelpful ways. And while these are, of course, big picture issues, this happens on smaller scales as well, even within our own families sometimes. A former workmate of mine, Tim, shared with me how his family always told him growing up that he was impatient. That was the story his whole childhood. Tim, you just have no patience. Oh, you're driving me mad. And he internalized this story, of course, and let it shape how he operated in the world, because he thought it was just the way he was. It wasn't until he was in his 40s that he was able to push back against this story told by his family and discover that he actually did have some patience within himself. But he had to practice and he had to work at it to work against the story. And of course, Lisa shared with me earlier this week a similar story from her own childhood. Clumsy was the identity that she was stuck with. Her family told her over and over that she was clumsy, and to this day has a hard time, and when she pushes back and shares about how she learned to climb mountains in college and studies martial arts and actually isn't a clumsy person. Here's the catch. Another one of those wonderful scientific studies has shown that being aware of the influence of culture, media, and advertising is not enough to keep them from impacting us. In fact, this study found if we think that our awareness of their attempts to manipulate us, if we think that our awareness is an inoculation that it keeps us from being impacted, we are in fact actually more likely to be impacted by those things on us. It's only if we think that those external forces do have an impact on us, despite our awareness, that their effects actually begin to lessen. This can be a little hard to swallow, or it was for me at least. My initial reaction to reading this is, well, my awareness about how media and advertising try to manipulate me should be enough to make it not affect me. But the reality is it's simply not true. Even when we're aware that our surroundings and what we see, hear, and read have an impact on us, how we think and what we believe, if we think that that awareness is enough, we're misleading ourselves. Even when we're aware that the messages we receive are trying to mislead us and manipulate us and our values, if we don't know that they have an impact, then they end up still having an impact. And that's as grown-ups, as adults, who even have an awareness that many of these cultural messages we receive are harmful. Our kids, our little ones, though, they just take it all in, as we saw on the video. And if you think that that video from 10 years ago might be out of date, I have an experiment for you to try. Go shopping right here in Muncie. Go to all the big box stores and see if you can find a doll of color. Because I've done that. And guess what? In all of Muncie, my wife and I could only find one doll of color on a shelf. And that one was so cartoonish that we couldn't bring ourselves to buy it. Because we wanted Mira, our daughter, to not just have white dolls. And while we admittedly didn't check Walmart, because we don't shop there, it was staggering to us. Everywhere, every shelf, white doll after white doll after white doll. What message do we think it sends to young black children here in Muncie when they go running to the toy aisle and are greeted by a wall of white dolls? Should we really be surprised about the outcome of that video, as heartbreaking as it was to watch? And that's just one thing, dolls, among so, so many other messages. Gender has tons of messages, especially for our little girls. Now, our family, we buy most of the shoes that our kids wear on their feet. We buy them used, since they grow out of them so fast. But last year, when one set of grandparents came to visit, they wanted to buy Mira new shoes, and so we went to Brinkman's to get her sized and to pick something out. And when the salesperson brought every little girl's sneaker they had in Mira's size, I kid you not, every single one of them was either entirely pink or predominantly pink, except for one that was purple. Now, there's nothing really wrong with pink per se, but really, basically the only option for a little girl to buy sneakers was pink because they don't like any other color? We ended up buying Mira a perfectly lovely pair of blue and green boys' sneakers because her favorite color is green. Now, these are but two examples that I have encountered in my life fairly recently. But I'm sure you can probably think of your own. And if you can't, maybe you can try to start paying attention to see what hidden messages are out there in plain sight. The card section of the drugstore is another great place if you look at the boys' and the girls' cards. And there's really stuff everywhere. And so if we look and we pay attention, maybe we can all try and work together to change some of this. Because all of these messages have an impact. They have an impact on our sense of worth and dignity. And if you doubted that, I hope the video from this morning eliminated any shadow of a doubt. The majority of those African-American children not only preferred to play with the white dolls, they thought that white was nice and black was bad. How are they to know that they have worth and dignity when our culture sends them all these messages all the time that they internalize from such a young age? How are they to know? At some point, sure, they'll learn in their heads that that isn't true, that they do have worth and dignity. But remember, these messages impact us even when we know better. And they already have all these years of training before they even fully come to understand what race, identity, and worth and dignity fully mean. There are so many harmful stories out there that our cultures tells us, that the media tells us, that sometimes even our family tells us. And they have an impact on us even when we're aware that they're harmful. Violence pervades our media and our video games these days, and we like to pretend that if we know better, it means it won't have an impact, but it does. Strict gender roles are part of the fabric of our society. We've already talked about body image issues with women, and there's so many other ways, of course, that we're sexist as a society. And it impacts men and boys, too. As a boy raised by Unitarian Universalist parents and a Unitarian Universalist church, I can personally attest that all the valuing of my feminine side and all that I was taught to value my feelings when I was growing up didn't keep me from deeply internalizing our society's message that boys and men shouldn't cry. And I rarely cry to this day. Despite the gains with marriage equality that we've made, the LGBT community still doesn't have full rights and equal protections as the law of the land in our country. Yes, thankfully there are some local ordinances that have passed, but in far too many places, including many places in our state of Indiana, gay people can be fired simply for being gay, with no repercussion to the employer and no legal recourse. What message does that send about how we value those people's inherent worth and dignity? Now, I don't think that there's a magic bullet that's going to make all of this go away. I do think, though, that we can make a difference in many ways simply by continuing to do the many things we're already doing to help change and transform the cultural norms and values with which we disagree. We can also bring greater awareness. We can bring greater awareness to the impact that all these messages have on us, even and despite the fact that we know they're going to change us. We can bring awareness, as our story for all ages reminded us this morning, that just like how the child, the dog, the fox, the fish, the mouse, the bee, the bird, and the bat all see the cat differently, that there are many different ways that we are seen and that we see others, and that they are not usually one and the same. To create a country and a culture where we not only recognize, but truly honor, uplift, and respect the worth and dignity of every person, we have to increase our awareness and continue the work of changing our cultural messages so that we can help each other know, not just in our heads, but also deep in our bones, that we, that I, that you have worth and dignity. I hope and I pray that someday in the future, when that doll experiment is done yet again, that the black children primarily choose black dolls. I hope that someday sooner than that, that maybe black children in Muncie will be able to easily find black dolls to buy at the store. I hope and pray that we can change the very, very concrete and real messages we send to far too many people that they are less than. Because not only do we all have inherent worth and dignity, we all deserve to know and feel that worth and dignity in our entire being, through and through.